Thanks for streaming our podcast. Our SOS Radio team is always experimenting with new things. By financially supporting the music and conversation in our podcast, you're helping it grow.
I use the SOS Radio app when I'm working. I love the fact that there are no ads, there's no pop-ups, and I can listen to Scott Harrell's podcast. I made a $20 gift to help keep the music commercial-free.
You can make a donation to help grow the podcast at sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app.
Talking about what it looks like to be a life-giving leader on SOS Radio with author Tyler Reagan. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So, Tyler, you lead an organization called Catalyst. It's a leadership development program, equips leaders to live their lives the way that God intended by loving and leading people well. But for the moms driving their kids to school and into soccer and to dance, they don't feel like leaders. Or the guys who work in an office or in a shop and don't feel like, hey, I don't have any management title, but hopefully I can share my faith with other people at work. What does leadership really look like? It's influence, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the guy that started Catalyst almost 20 years ago is a guy named John Maxwell, and he always said just simply that leadership is influence. And so for anybody that says they're not a leader, the way I'd like to describe it is every one of us has influence with one, two, maybe four other people. How we steward that influence is our leadership journey. So no matter what that looks like, how many that is, you know, there's so many people out there, Scott, that want the 200 in their circle of influence, but they haven't taken care of the two that's in their circle of influence. And so to me, it's all about a posture of recognizing, I got to steward the people that are in this circle. I got to steward that is my leadership journey. How do I manage those people well?
Well, it's so interesting too, because in the Bible, it talks about the parable of the talents, and everybody wants to have 100 talents, but some of us don't have that capacity yet. It's just like you're talking about. If God gives you two talents, multiply that. If he gives you four talents, then multiply that again. If he gives you 10, multiply that. But you're not going to have the capacity to manage 150 projects until you can manage your two projects well and with honor and loving the relationships, because that's where it all starts.
Yeah, that's right. And I know for me, I feel like I'm an example. With so many people, especially with social media now, you see these overnight quote-unquote successes, right? All of a sudden, you know, they're influencing a church of 1,000. Or what you don't see is when they were in their basement with the six people that they were pastoring and giving it all they have to that six. And the next week, they had 12, you know? And so what we see is the success story and just want to be there. We want to skip the process. But the truth is, to be life-giving, to be a good leader, things inside you require sacrifice. And so it takes time. But it really is, how are you stewarding your current level of influence? And you're exactly right. You can't just jump there. You got to work at it with the current situation.
It's interesting, Tyler, because your book is about being a life-giving leader. It's not just about being a boss or being an authoritarian, right, or getting your way or being the chief influencing officer. It's about speaking life to people's hearts, because this ultimately is about relationships.
That's all it is, right? My friend Craig Rochelle is a pastor in Oklahoma City. He always says, you know, he doesn't want to create the greatest church in the world, the greatest this, that, and the other, and then get to his end of his life and have nobody with him. You want to ask me a sign of a healthy leader, and I want to see their friends, because if they have good friendships, that's going to be a sign of a healthy leader. Well, that's the point, right? We do all this because we love people. God told us that. That's a part of he loves people. You know, that's why he sent Jesus. I think one of the values we have as an organization, we tell it's our big events in a few weeks, and I'll tell my team on the Monday of the event, people are not an interruption to our day. They are why we do what we do. And so many ministries and churches sometimes can miss the fact they'll be on their way to complete a task on Sunday and walk right past people that they exist to serve.
We're talking to author Tyler Reagan today on SOS Radio. He's the president of Catalyst, and he has a new book. It's called Life-Giving Leader. It just released, and I saw some statistics that said more than 65% of working adults would choose a new boss over an actual increase in their pay. And that's pretty eye-opening. I mean, what does that say about how desperate people are for godly men and women to step into the leadership roles and really shepherd us and take those roles seriously?
That's very real, though, isn't it, Scott? Like, you could probably go back and think of a boss or somebody in your organization that had influence over you that did not give you life, but instead metaphorically or physically or emotionally took it from you, right? That's what happens when we don't pay attention to this from a spiritual level. We've got a lot of men and women who aren't integrated in their faith. Their faith exists on Sunday at the right time, and then they show up for meetings and they show up at work and they go, "That wasn't that. I've got to work there. I've got to, that's my work mode." Okay, well, work mode doesn't give you the right to not let your faith be on display. Like, that's just not how that works. Like, in me, I want faith and life to be integrated. I want my faith and my home to be integrated. I want my two boys to see that faith for me is not just an occasional thing. It's integrated. What Christ taught is a part of who I am and what I think about. And so just figuring out how to do that. But we all know that. And one of the main lines I say in this is that when life flows, influence grows. Everybody I know of who's worked in an organization that had a life-giving leader, they gave them influence, they gave them grace. And oh, by the way, money wasn't the driving force. They were happy to be in a situation where they were being loved on and cared for. And the number of people we know that have made the extra money but hated their boss, every one of them would say, it's not worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's a huge difference between people who will gladly follow you and then there's the people that feel obligated to follow you. You know, what are some of the keys you found to make it more of a leadership from who you are in Christ, where people willingly and joyously want to get involved?
I think it's seeing them for the fact that they are each unique, that when you look eyeball to eyeball with somebody, you are seeing the image of God. He is in them. He created them uniquely. A big part of the premise for the book is that we are going to learn to lead from our truest self, like who God uniquely made us, our Psalm 139 self, where it says that he knit us together in our mother's womb while looking at the breadth and the story of our life. There's so many leaders and so many people who spend their life trying to be somebody they're not. And there's tension around that because they're reading it. They're seeing it. I want to be that. I want to be this. The quicker we can become proud of God's unique, handcrafted masterpiece that he created with us, with our personalities, with our wiring, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the quicker we'll be lining up with the calling he has for our lives. I think that, to me, is one of the most important messages that we can get to Christians, is going, this is a beautiful thing that God knit us together. He made us. We are considered in the New Testament a masterpiece. I would bet 90% of us do not feel like a masterpiece right now. Like, we're just like, okay, I just got to make it today, you know? And there are days that our spiritual acts of worship is showing up, right? But that happens, and God works on us, and he grows us. But if we spend our lives, like, intention, trying to make a sound that's not ours to make, that's a place where we start losing influence, but we really start losing life.
Downloading audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
So what actually is the secret sauce to speaking life to your kids and motivate them to move forward when they don't want to do something? I'm Scott on SOS Radio. I'm talking about in school when it comes to math and science and things that your kids say, Dad, this is so hard. We're talking to author Tyler Reagan this morning on SOS Radio. He's the president of Catalyst, and he's also an author. And you look at your boys, okay, you have two of them. You want to motivate them, and they're not really feeling math. They're not really feeling science. They just think it's so hard, and you don't want to speak to the productivity because you know that's not there. You want to speak to who they are in Christ, but what do you suggest for breaking through so they can actually understand, wait, maybe I can do this?
I have two boys, and man, I don't know what I can do to get them to like math. That's a whole other trick, guys. If you have any pointers, let me know. You know, but what I do know is that I can so deeply ingrain in these two boys what it means to have character, what it means to have integrity, what it means to work hard at the things that you might not like math or science or English or whatever. The fact that I wrote a book, Scott, with a 420 on the SAT in English is proof that, like, it doesn't have to be your sweet spot. But God, he raised me into a place where I'm called to lead leaders. And so I think in fifth grade, the only time I've ever written something that was ever published, and it was, I had to read it over the loudspeaker, and it was a story about the California race, okay? So it's not like this is, like, history to me. But I also knew that God had called me to do it. And with that truth, it allowed me to get into the project and go after it, even though it wasn't something that was super easy, super comfortable. I'll spend a lot of time with college students, and I'll tell them, if you want to be ready to lead in the future, you build your character now. That's what you build now, because it takes a lifetime to build character and a few minutes to lose it. And so we want to build men and women, students, who are ready for the long haul because they've built the foundation of character, and that character is based on the identity of Christ.
Yeah, that's good, because there's praise, which is speaking to what someone's accomplished, what they've done, and then there's encouragement, which is speaking to who they are in Christ, speaking to those values inside and those natural giftings and talents, and we can speak that to our kids even when they're falling way short.
That's right. There's nothing that's made me prouder than seeing my kids step into a leadership or a character or a personal space. They can do great on tests for competency, which is fine. I'm not at all belittling that, because that has to happen. They've got to work on that. But last year, my oldest, recognized that one of the boys in his class, he just recognized by paying attention that he would not have a warm meal from Friday at lunch till Monday at breakfast at school. And he also noticed that he wore the same shirt almost every day to school. And so he took it on himself to reach out to the counselor and go, hey, I didn't want to talk to him directly, but I have some extra shirts. Could I help? Could I do something? And I just, there's nothing that makes you prouder as a dad, as a fourth grader, noticing that, paying attention to it. But that's somebody that recognizes because it's been, you know, taught to them and they've read in the Bible and our church helps with that. My son is able to look and recognize, man, this is a chance for me to have compassion, have love, have the fruit of the Spirit for a kid that could use some little bit of help. I love that. You know, again, make good grades, but that's what makes me proud of the dad.
We're talking about how we can be life-giving leaders on SOS Radio with author Tyler Reagan. And for some people, leadership comes a little more naturally. They have that charisma. I guess we'll just call a lot of those people a little more extroverted. But what about the other side of the coin, the introverted people, those that need to recharge by being alone? How do you go about developing and training people who find it a little more difficult to be in large groups of people?
Goes back to what we've talked about, which is leadership's not just in large groups of people. You have a responsibility to the three people around you. That's your leadership thing. You know, and again, yeah, there are some people that are called to be up front. There are some people that are called to be on stage. There are some people that will never be up front and shouldn't be. But part of that is going back. I'll just take it from my perspective. I've got half my team will probably introvert. Well, my role, well, not just as an extrovert, but as a leader of meetings, as a leader of our team, is to call them out in a good way. Like we'll be in a meeting, a creative meeting. Extroverts always win the meetings because, you know, they're processing out loud, and then it's the introverts who are sitting there thinking about it. And if you as a leader don't recognize how they process well, then you're not setting them up for success. So, for example, I've learned two things about introverts, especially ones that are processors. Number one, I like to go in meetings. I don't need an agenda ahead of time. I want to look at it if you send it to me. But if you're introverted and you want time to process, if I throw something on you spur of the moment, that's hard for you. For most people in that space. So what I'll do is make sure there's an agenda ahead of time, not for my sake, because I don't care, but for their sake, because it helps them be prepared and then they feel like they're their best selves in that meeting. So a big part of leadership is calling out that uniqueness in the people around you in your organization. And as parents, it's calling that out in your kids. When you see your kid do something that's unique to their wiring, whether it's introverted, extroverted, compassionate, detached, structured, unstructured, I don't care. Call it out and go, man, did you see how you thought about that? That is amazing. I really appreciate the way you're thinking about that, or the way you processed that, or the way you made that decision.
You're clear to go. Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store. The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.